Today is the 14th of January, and I, Ursula Flicker, am interviewing Mrs. Clara Schnitzer. Could you please tell me what happened to you and your family between the years of 1939 and 1945?
Yes, and 41, the might strike the white ghetto. Taking us all together, brought all from all neighboring cities, also all Jews, and families used to live for 3-4 families in a room. And 1942, the 20th of March, started shooting at 7 o'clock in the morning and finished at 4 o'clock. We lost 3,000 people lying in one grave. On this particular day, I lost my father and my younger sister. By a miracle, my mother came earlier and we heard shots, so we moved to the second floor and we stayed there. But at 4 o'clock, they finished shooting. So I remember it was very cold and it was frozen blood all over the ghetto, and we stayed only 45 families, which stayed only husband and wife. There were families which were no name left behind. Later on, they always have been coming to the ghettos and asking for money and for fares, and they might police and Judenrat.
Well, that's what I would like to ask you. How was the Jewish community organized when the Germans
came? They told us we have to have a Judenrat and we have to have police.
Yes.
I must admit that the police, particularly in our city, were very nice young men from very nice families, and they tried to help us as much they could. But unfortunately, they had no choice and they were not asked what to do. So then we stayed in ghetto till Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur
1942. Yom Kippur 42. We were pleading with everybody not to go to the synagogues. But nobody listened and everybody went to the synagogue. And after about 10 o'clock in the morning, when Germans knew that Jews are in the synagogue, they started again to shoot and everybody had to go out, and they meet them all in a marketplace, and there some were shot in the place and some were taken away.
Do you remember the name of the commandant who was in your town?
The first of the 42, in the first 42 action. His name was Miller.
Miller.
They came from Tarnopol.
Mm-hmm. That was a Volksdeutsch?
No, oh. This was
a real German,
yes. And after Yom Kippur War, there was after Yom Kippur auction, the same trouble was. We still were always afraid. We were not allowed to go out of the ghettos. We had to wear, of course, straight away the white
bands
with the Magen David. And on the 8th of December, it happened exactly the same. They start to shoot people.
Did they shoot them in the street?
In the street, in the house, they've taken them out from the houses in the street. If somebody tried to run away, they shot them exactly the same. And the last was on the 6th of June, 42. It was a Saturday, and that was Judenfrei. So some people were lucky enough to escape, and a lot of them were taken out of their bunkers and shot.
Were there deportations? Were there any deportations?
No,
the concentration?
No, they were shooting on a place, on the spot.
Just on the spot, I see.
And I suppose I was the lucky one who had a place by Ukrainian people to be hidden.
Before we go any further, in the ghetto, how did you obtain food?
Some people sort of tried to go out. There were a lot of between the people, although they helped Germans to murder us, Ukrainians and Poles. But some of them were quite nice people, and they used to bring in, the children used to take off the bands and used to go out, and it kept us, in a sense, a bit alive.
So the food was reaching at the ghetto?
Reaching to some degree, yes.
And how were the sanitary conditions? How were you for hospital, medical care? Were they doctors in the ghetto?
There were doctors and doctors in ghettos, air doctors.
And could they practice?
They had to help people because we had also typhoid. Suddenly, because it was very dirty, but they helped us. So there were some doctors from the out of the ghetto, like the non-Jewish doctors. They tried also to help.
And what was happening with the Russian soldiers? Did you have any Russian soldiers that stayed behind? Withdrew with the Red
Army. They withdrew straight away, yes. And I lost, of course, in the last auction, I lost my husband. And 3 months before Russia freed us, I lost my mother. And when Russia came, Ukrainians murdered my sister. So I stayed on my own.
You just stayed on your own. Do you remember how your parents and your husband died? Was it just shooting, or were they running away, or were they...
Father, on the 20th of March, I was told that he was taking away, even if he told us he was dying, crying. And my sister was running into a country, she was told by Ukrainians, you are not belonging here, she was shot, but I don't know where. Either she was shot somewhere in the street or at the graves.
They were herding people to dig their own graves?
Yes, they started to dig the graves before the 20th of March. They were told by the Germans that this is for making bricks. Mm-hmm. But some people did not believe it, but nobody had any other choice. And these graves, the Jews... And there was
They had to prepare themselves.
And later on, in the graves were hundreds and hundreds alive, so they poured over them calcium.
Lime.
So that was the first. The other one, they were taking them away dead.
Yes. I
don't remember where, because I always was in hiding. So.
Yes, for sure. Heard all the... Later on, what happened?
Yes, I have been all auctions in my city, but yes. I was lucky enough, sort of, always to be staying alive.
Yes, well, that was your destiny.
Exactly.
Could you tell us also what were the, in the ghetto, how people washed themselves? Did you have water, hot water, cold water? Was it running? Was it in the taps? Or did you have to bring the water from wells?
We have to bring from wells the water.
And the toilets were operational, or...?
The toilets were operational. It was very dirty just the time in lots of places. Because of this, we had the typhoon. Just because there were so many people in one place.
Yes, for sure. Now, I'm sorry, could you continue with your story when the last auction took place?
The last auction took place, I was not in a ghetto, but I stayed with a Ukrainian family in the same city. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was woken up by shots. And I have been with my girlfriend, so I told her we dress ourselves because there is already the last
action.
And we have been afraid that the Ukrainian lady who kept us, she will come and tell us to go. But she was very kind and she told us to undress. She've taken our pictures, she've taken our papers and said, if somebody comes, you are my two daughters.
Do you remember her name?
Yes, he was a commissar at the Ukrainian police, said that he doesn't know we are there, but his wife and the children knew, and his name was Baczynski.
And the lady name? Who saved you?
The lady, Mrs. Baczynski, I don't know her first name, mm-hmm. but she had two daughters, Lida and Tanya, which loved us very much and slept with my girlfriend and myself in their room. And there we never were hungry. That's I have to admit, we had everything. But when the Russian came, 3 months and they were fighting under Tarnopol, so she got afraid of the Russians, and she told us that we have to leave because they are running away. By chance, I found out that my younger sister have been 5 kilometers from the city in a country town. So at night, the lady brought me to his brother, 3 kilometers, and next day I went to my sister. And I stayed with her at first under bushes of wheat, and later on he dug a little grave near the river bank, and we stayed there for next 4 months. Mm-hmm. And when Russia came to save us in 44, end of 44, so I managed to come to the city, and unfortunately later on the Ukrainians found my sister and they murdered her with the fellow Ukrainian together.
I see. Well, if you go back in your memory and remember when staying with this Mrs. Baczynski, yes?
Yeah.
What did you do during the day? Do you remember what?
Yes,
activities?
I was sitting every day in the window behind the curtains and watching if somebody doesn't come to pick us up.
I see. So your poor heart must have.
Yes, I've seen somebody, I always was afraid that somebody will come. But as she was a wife of the commissar of the Ukraine police, so she was not afraid that somebody will particularly come. Although she sacrificed her life, I must admit, because if they would have found us there, the whole family would have been murdered.
Well, what I can see from your photo, you did not look particularly Jewish.
No. I had...
Did you have any papers?
Yes, I had very good papers. I had even a passport, a Russian, which gave us in 39 and 40, and a girlfriend gave me her picture. And this was completely on my passport, that is my own. But unfortunately, I have a too Jewish heart, and I could not stay behind. I used to go away all the time, and every action I have been back, because I always wanted to go where Jews are. So I had the papers, but I couldn't use them because this was not, I couldn't do it. And so this is why I had to be in hiding.
You had to be.
Yes, I've been also, I was sent to Warsaw, ghetto was still on, and I was taken by a Jewish fellow who promised to give me a Ken Carter. Mm-hmm. And when we came to Lvov, he left me and went to send somewhere a telegram. I didn't know where. By going from Lvov to Warsaw, he told me that in Lublin somebody's taken off a Jew. So I told him, look, I don't know you in a train because you're a Jew and you can be recognized quick. I am not. So he agreed. But when he came to Warsaw, came to me a Polish policeman. To him he says, you are Jewish. And they've taken us away to the first commissariat of Polish police. So when we came up there, they sent me out of the room, and I stayed with the commissioner, and he started to yell at me that I am Jewish. What I'm doing in Warsaw? So I said, I'm not Jewish, and I came to because I needed a doctor. And then he started to ask me if I know some religion. So probably God gave me something, an answer that I don't believe in religion and I'm not going to church. So he yelled at me that he will send me to the Gestapo. So I said, you can do it, or you can ring to my city and they will tell you that I am the one and my husband is in Rohatyn. And after a while, they sent me out, and then they brought in the fellow who've taken me to Warsaw. And they started to ask me if I will buy him out. So I agreed. When we went into the office, the Jewish fellow said to him, could you make me a Ken Carter? And he asked him, whom you need the Ken Carter for? He says, for her. And he said, I don't believe it. She is not Jewish. She drove me so crazy that she is not Jewish. But after this, he said that his brother was doing the Ken Carter, but they caught some Jews, and he's afraid now to do it. I have to wait. But as I had still my husband and my family in ghetto, so I've decided to go back. Because I knew when I lose everybody, they will threaten me and I will have no money, so they will kill me anyway. So I went back.
And tell me, how was it then traveling on a train? Could you buy freely tickets from one city to another?
Yes.
Didn't they ask any documents?
No. I had perfect documents. I have each and every one. And as a matter of fact, the commissar from the Ukraine police told my husband, when she goes somewhere, she should not show all papers. She should only show the Ken Carte what she got here from the police.
That's right.
Because by showing all papers, you recognize Jews. So I did exactly what he told me. So they never asked me. I got the ticket and I was driving. So, but I always came back.
Yes, I can see that. Well, this is one part when you dared out of Rohatyn and went to Warsaw.
Yes.
Well, did you go anywhere else?
Yes, before I used to travel, I went to Stryi.
Yes.
But I stayed with a lady, and she sure that I'm non-Jewish, but I always tried to go where ghetto was. My heart was always, I was feeling that I had belonged there. So one day I felt that she knows something.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided to go home. And when I came to Chodorov, this was a station before Air City, met me a Polish girl from Air City, and she started to frighten me that she's going to send me to the Gestapo. So I told her, why are you going to do this to me? You come to Air City, we'll give you money. And somewhat she decided she's leaving me go, so I came home. But she never showed up because there was a Polish policeman, a very good one, and he said if she will come, then I will teach her a lesson.
I see. So you had to do with the blackmail.
Yes, I had to do with blackmail, yes, but I always somewhat was lucky enough to talk me out of it.
Yes, I can see that. And did other people try to be, you know, to escape and have been blackmailed to go back? Do you know of any in your experience?
There have been a lot of people which were going out and they had to come back. Some went out, my cousin went out, and somebody sent her to Gestapo and she was murdered.
I see. So there was very quick action after they found out that you
were
Jewish.
Yes. And the Germans did not know particularly who is Jewish when I went out or anybody else with that my band, but Ukrainian people or Polish people used to say Yudis, so they knew exactly who they are.
Yes, they could tell straight
away.
Yes. Did you work during this
No.
time of occupation?
No.
And what did you have money from home? How did
you
manage for money, if I may ask?
We had still money because luckily enough, my family, my husband's family was a rich family. So we had money, he had lots of non-Jewish friends also. And before ghetto started, we were given by the Ukrainian people potatoes, and so that I had full of cellars, so that I used to even help the other people which did not have any.
I see. Well, what kind of money was it?
Zlotys, Polish zlotys.
Polish zlotys,
yes.
And they were accepting it during the occupation?
Yes, they were accepting, yes. And of course, who did not have any money, then everybody, usually somebody has rings or somebody had jewelry. Not that it was many, because everybody had to give it away to Germans.
Exactly, that's what I'm asking.
Yes, and they used to ask for thousands of fares, which in our city, I don't think if there were three ladies Jewish which had fares. So they had to put together from everybody money and buy it in other towns to give to the Germans.
And what was happening to these fares?
The Germans taken away.
To Germany? They were telling...
Yeah, probably, I don't know, must have been, yeah.
You don't know. When you go back in your experience, what was the most terrible one that you remember? What was the most... shocking one that you...
The shocking one was the first when they started to shoot us. We still were in bed when we heard shooting. We have not believed when people told us then that 60 kilometers from us they were already shooting Jews. This was the worst experience. and of course any other one. Every time we had to go to the bunkers because the Gestapo was coming. Mm. Not they always were shooting, but we were afraid. We had always the terrible time.
Yes, I can imagine. Did you suffer actual physical beating or any mishandling?
Not me.
No, you didn't.
I was lucky enough always not to be there.
Mm-hmm. Now, could you, that's a very tall question, was a resistance possible at that time?
Not particularly, because every Ukraine and every Pole were against Jews. Although the young people had pistols and they tried to go against it, but there were too little of them, too few of them.
Did you have any partisans in your district?
Not Jewish ones. We had, unfortunately, the Ukrainians, which there murdered the most Jews
in the woods,
because the German was afraid to go to the woods. The Ukrainians did.
The Ukrainians did.
Oh yes.
And would you know why?
Because Hitler promised the Ukrainians a free Ukraine, so they said the Ukraine has to be only for Ukrainians, and as Hitler said, the Judenfrei, there was no Jews, there shouldn't be any Jews.
Is it very difficult for you to discuss your experiences?
Yes, it is, because I remember, I never forgotten it, but it's very hard to remember everybody losing by this way.
Yes. Do you carry any physical reminders of your wartime experiences?
Yes, I suffered with my ankles because I was sitting in the riverbank and there was snow and water and we were stuck there.
Well, would that be very painful for you to describe how it felt to be in this bunker? What was going on in your mind? You were a girl of 22. What were you thinking? What were you talking with your sister? What was the sort of the day? How did you fill it in?
We were all... The bunker was so small that we could not stand up. We had to lie down or sit. And we wanted to turn, we had to turn both together. Before us was just a green piece of small window. We put greens that we wouldn't be seen. And we just watched it always. When we heard the dog barking, we knew that Ukraine are coming to look for us. But of course, we, as I said, I was lucky enough that they never found us. The Germans were having maneuvers, and they just missed us by maybe a foot running down the hill. And what we were talking, we were praying only to God that we can be alive to come out. We prayed to God that Russia wins the war, it comes soon to free us. What could we talk about? I didn't know that my husband was murdered. I just knew later that my mother was murdered 3 months before Russia came.
Did you go out during the day?
No.
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 But
we didn't go out at all.
You didn't go for walks?
No, not at all. We couldn't go out.
And did the peasant bring you food?
Yes. He gave us food. The one thing, what I haven't been hungry.
You haven't?
No.
How was the food coming to you?
He was coming at night and he was taking off the window, the piece of grass, and gave us through the window.
I see. And were you suffering from animals?
No.
No? There were no rats or mice?
No.
It was dry when it rained.
There was dry as long as it was summer, but unfortunately we were sitting in the autumn, winter and spring, so when the snow started to thaw, we had all water inside.
Yes.
We were stayed like this.
But in the winter, did you have enough clothing for you to keep warm?
Yes, we went there out of the ghetto with a coat and with a pullover, and we had even a feather bed and cushions in there.
Yes.
But later on when I went out, I went just in one dress and then I lost everything. I just had nothing else.
I see. Well, at that time, what were your feelings toward Judaism?
Oh, I felt, I think, better Jewish like I ever did before. I would never change and I can't understand how other people are doing it.
Yes. What do you think helped you to survive?
I think, first of all, I'm tremendously optimistic. I'm a life optimist, and I always had hope that I will survive. I also have had dreams. I had dreams of my husband who told me that he will not allow to do any harm to me. I did not know that he is not alive. I also seen my father in my dream, and I knew when I see him that nothing happened to me.
Yes, very, very interesting. And that kept you...
And it kept me going, it always does.
When did you learn about the horrors of Nazism? When? Do you remember when the news sort of seeped into ghetto or wherever you were? Concentration camps, I mean. Did you know anything about
them? We did not know in the ghettos about the concentration camps. We only knew the round, like in Lvov, in Stanislav, the smaller cities, that they are shooting. But yes. We didn't know anything about the concentration camps then, because it was very far away from us.
Did you learn later on, when you were in the bunker, or when...
No, we knew till then, when we came to freedom. What was
and it? When you left the bunker, what did you do with yourself?
After the 4 months, the Ukrainian fellow taken me into to the fields, and I had to go about 3 o'clock in the morning that nobody sees me. The wheat was very high. When I heard somebody walking, I went into the wheat, and when I came to the city, because he went at first to see who came out to freedom. So when he came from the city, he said there are a few Jewish people whom I knew, and included was this. Like my husband, and he told him to bring her. So I walked the 5 kilometer at 3 o'clock in the morning until I came to the house where my girlfriend been there. And there I sat and I couldn't get up because I got my ankles swollen so that I couldn't walk for maybe for a week from sitting in the bunker. And later on I had nothing. So we've decided after a few weeks to go away with my husband, and we walked like Russian was going, so we were walked until we came to Katowice, and there we married, and from there we went to Budapest.
Right, just a minute. When you have been in confinement of your bunker and things like that, what were you feeling towards Jews?
I felt sorry to her. For them. I was still Jewish and I felt Jewish.
Yeah.
I was only sorry what happening to them.
I see. What was your mental condition after liberation, if I may ask?
Oh, I was all right. I just realized what happened when I came out, that I lost everybody, but my mental condition was all right. I just knew what I'm doing.
Where did you find comfort during the war? You know, everyone finds comfort in something. What gave you the best comfort then? Meeting with your sister? Was it meeting?
I haven't met with my sister because when I went to freedom, my sister was supposed to come a week or two later. And unfortunately, she was murdered by Ukrainians with the Ukrainian person who kept us. So my comfort was just the few friends which came out to freedom. Mm-hmm. We were living together because I was afraid of my own shadow.
I see. Well, that's very, very frightening to think about. Have you discussed your experiences with your son?
Yes. My son knows everything. My son knew that I was married before. My son knew whom I lost. He knows all diets. And I feel that children should know what we got through, and every film, whatever it comes, he always seen it.
I see. So actually he relates to your story, and he does not reject or fight against
No.
He is compassionate.
Yes, he is. He knows.
Understanding?
Yes, he's very understanding. He knows what we got through.
When you left Poland for Budapest.
Yes.
Why was the choice Budapest? Any particular reason?
First of all, the Poles were not very friendly also to Jews, and as we had nothing to lose, so we went with the Russian trucks to Budapest. We stayed in Budapest a year. It was much nicer.
And who did you stay in Budapest with? Did you find Jewish communal organization?
Yes, not organization. We stayed first in a place with a Jewish old lady, and then we moved to a room, to a non-Jewish family, Gagaza room. And we stayed in Budapest for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And from Budapest, where did
you go? We went to Germany. They've taken us to such a camp, but we didn't want to stay in it, so we went privately to Regensburg in Bavaria.
And what did you do? What did your husband do in Regensburg?
Oh, like anybody, they used to business. And then after 2 years, 4 years in Regensburg, we went to Berlin. We had two businesses in Berlin.
In Berlin. In yes. Which one? The east one or the west?
The west.
The west.
The west. And then we've decided, as my son was getting to 4 years old, that we would not like to bring up our son in Germany. We decided to come to Australia.
Before we go to that story, could you tell me, when was your son born?
My son was born on the 31st of December, 47, in Regensburg.
In Regensburg, I see. And in Berlin, where did you live? Were it special?
In the Hubertus Allee in Grunewald.
And what was the place? Did you rent it?
No, yes, we rented a flat.
By yourself? Or were the Jewish organization active?
No, by ourselves.
By yourself. And did you obtain any help from the overseas Jewish organization at all?
The UNRWA used to give us things in Regensburg for the babies. But particularly my light husband was not particularly keen on taking charity, so he used to work for it.
I see. And in Berlin, when you decided to go to Australia, what did you have to do? How did you get the permission to come?
We met in Lublin a Jewish family, husband and wife, and we got very friendly with them. And they went also to Budapest, but they have decided to emigrate to Australia. I don't know how, but they did. And we corresponded, and they have sent us the papers from here. And of course, we haven't paid airfare here. We were paid by UNRWA or whatever.
By joint?
Joint. And we came to Australia. They sent us there.
You came to Melbourne?
Yes,
directly?
Right in Melbourne, yes.
Yes. And how did you feel when you arrived in Australia? Was it very important for you to leave Europe?
It was important for us particularly to leave Germany, mm-hmm. because we did not want to have the reminders of what we passed and got through.
I see. And when you arrived in Australia, how did you feel?
Oh, I felt all right. We had to start to work, and
well,
we like it.
Yes. Did you make it a second home? Your first?
Yes, this is my home.
That's your home.
Yeah.
Well, when you think back now, from all the bad that happened to Jewish people, do you think that anything good arrived from it? When you think about so many people, so many million, 6 million died, is there a way of sort of...
I think that we lost 6 million, but we gained a country, and we gained Israel.
Yes, and what are you feeling about Israel?
I love it.
You love it. Yes. Now, if I ask you, has Australia helped you to rehabilitate yourself?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
You found possibility that you gave education to
right.
your son?
Yes, I gave education to my son, and we found that this is a home, and we can give him what he wanted to. He worked, and we gave him.
Yes. Now you're very proud of him. He is
I
a
am
professor,
a very
isn't he,
a
at the university?
He is a doctor of philosophy at economics.
Uh-huh. Could you think about that this during the war, you know, when you were in the ghetto, or later on when you met your husband, that you have a son and he'll be a professor of economics?
I haven't dreamt about it in ghetto, but when I came to freedom as a widow, and my husband also as a widow, we've decided to marry. But before, he got through a lot in ghetto too. the 20th of March, he had a little girl, 3 years old, and she was shot in his arms, and he fell into the grave where there lying 3,000 people. As it came 4 o'clock, he promised a German Gestapo to give him gold, and they allowed him to come out of the grave. So he survived in ghetto. But later on, I went my way, and he went into the countries, and after the war we met.
I see. And how did he survive this years in, of
he survived
occupation?
With a pistol in the bushes, and when he came to Ukraine and he wanted to give him to eat, he gave him. If not, they were decided that they can kill for something to eat. But most of them were afraid of him, so they gave him bread and meat and told him just to take it and to leave it, because the Ukrainians were afraid of their own neighbors, that they will be told that they help Jews, so they will be murdered.
I see. And for how long did he hide himself in the forest with a pistol?
For more than a year.
More than a year. And who liberated him?
The Russians.
The Russians. And what did he do straight after the liberation? Did he go back to Rohatyn?
He came to Rohatyn and he tried to take away from the Ukrainians what belonged to him. And then some of them gave him back and some said they have nothing. And he decided to leave Rohatyn. And I've decided to leave too.
I see.
Because I had nothing to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going through Poland until Katowice, we decided to marry.
Yes.
And then we went together.
I see. Now, what did your husband do in Katowice? Did he do anything in particular?
Oh, he did also a bit of business. You could have made business. But we hadn't stayed for too long because there was too many Nazis still left in Poles. And so we've decided to leave Poland altogether.
I see. Now, was it very important for you to leave Europe?
Was it very important to leave Europe? We didn't want to stay anymore in Europe.
I see.
So we decided to leave it.
I see. And when you arrived in Australia, how did you feel?
I felt very good. We felt bored. We had to work very hard, but we felt at home.
Our interview is coming to an end, and do you want to say anything else? And if not, well, we thank you very, very much for giving your time to us and sharing your experiences.
Thank you, and I hope we don't have to share again such an experience.
Thank you.